Is this the Christina version or is this the original?
Christina.
Did you know that there's an original version?
No.
Really?
No. Who sings it?
You being serious?
Yeah. Madonna?
Madonna.
Madonna.
I've heard both of them. I'd have to say the second one's better.
This happens to be a great version.
Yeah.
Who's the original Lady Marmalade?
I just asked you.
Let me see. LaBelle. Patti LaBelle.
Man, this one got a little more to it.
Patti LaBelle version is great, though. Never heard of it.
What was the profession of Lady Marmalade?
I think she made jams and jellies. Marmalade is a jam or a jelly, Flair. You look very confused there.
I thought she was a dancer.
That's what I was getting after. I don't know what Lady Marmalade is, but if you listen to the song, I don't think they have a W-2.
Marmalade's a jam?
Well, I believe, yeah, marmalade.
Huh.
You know that?
No.
Really?
Never had it?
This Lady Marmalade's dodging taxes.
That Concord jam.
I'm sorry?
Is it Concord?
Now, do you know what voulez-vous coucher avec moi means?
Thank you in France.
I believe that's merci.
Oh, merci beaucoup, yeah.
I think it means, do you want to have sex?
Oh.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Don't ask nobody that. Your answer will be no. Give you a heads up. Your feelings don't get hurt.
See if that's what voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir means.
How would I, can I just type in Lady Marmalade?
Also,
lyrics?
Let's give that to Don Bailey Jr. for the Pinstripe Bowl.
He's going to be so mad.
Joe, voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Write that one down. I like that.
How would that come out for Don Bailey Jr.? All right, let's get to Clay Ferrero here. 5 o'clock hour, by the way, on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha Brewery happy hour. Clay Ferrero is the sports anchor on Local 10. We like to do our Ferrero side chats with him. He is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Clay.
Guys, I don't know why you're bringing me on. I can't do better than breaking down Lady Marmalade.
Now, do you remember the original with Patti LaBelle?
I do, and I think you're right on what it means, and I think it ends with me tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll be curious if Falero, I didn't know Falero could multitask like that. He gets me on the phone, and then I hear him reading the update, and now he's over there getting information for you guys. So
you know how I do, Clay.
No, no one knows how you do. And all the information he's giving us is generally wrong. And he cannot. He's the opposite of a guy that could multitask.
Voulez-vous, blah, blah. Is that, do you want to sleep with me tonight?
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. Can you say it again, please?
Voulez-vous, ça, ça.
Yeah.
Voulez-vous, coleslaw? What did you say?
Voulez-vous, coleslaw? C'est soir.
Clay, don't tell him he did good.
Appreciate that, Clay.
Where do you stand? Clay, I'm going to jump right into sports here. Where do you stand on Ryan Tannehill, Adam Gase, and the Miami Dolphins and their future?
Where do you want to start? We kind of had this question the other day, who is most likely to be gone? And I think what I said about Ryan Tannehill from the beginning is, I think when he's healthy, I think he can be pretty good. I think you're talking about a top 12 quarterback when he's healthy. But, guys, I don't know if he's ever going to be 100% healthy again, at least not for an extended period of time. And I think Adam Gase loves him. I think Adam Gase, if you went to him and you said Ryan Tannehill is going to be healthy next year, then I think he'd absolutely bring him back and let his career ride on it. But I also think when he hurt his shoulder a few weeks ago, and again, this is just reading body language and tone of voice and all that, I think he's getting a little bit tired of wondering whether or not he's going to be able to have a healthy Tannehill. And so that's not me having any inside info. I just think if Adam Gase is going to let his career ride on the arm of a quarterback, you got to know if he's going to be able to play and at least be 100%. So I think we may not have seen the last of Ryan Tannehill when he rolls out there at Buffalo, but I do think at the very least, they're going to explore bringing in somebody who could be competition moving forward.
If you had to make one move for the Dolphins offseason. You could get rid of Gase. You could get rid of Tannehill. You could get rid of Mike Tannenbaum. Or you can keep them all. What would be the one move?
Well, I think if you remove Mike Tannenbaum, I think you're basically saying you're starting over. Because I think, and maybe this is just me being Pollyanna, pie in the sky, and hoping that everything is going to be great. I think what Stephen Ross has done in the past hasn't worked, where he's done this thing kind of piecemeal, right? Like, he doesn't fire Dennis Hickey. He brings in Mike Tannenbaum as an advisor to Dennis Hickey, and then you don't really know who's actually in charge, and then you fire Joe Philbin, but who's really picking the next coach? And you need to do a complete house cleaning if you're going to do a house cleaning. So I don't think just firing Adam Gase is an option. I think you would look at the top. Personally, part of me would really like to see what this franchise could do if they tried to hit the reset button and start over and do that either at the top or with Ryan Tannehill. Look, Ryan Tannehill, I think, has earned the respect of his teammates. I think when he's out there and he's healthy, and I'm a broken record, I think he's fine. But I also think that you know what the ceiling is with this team with him out there. So I'd probably look to go a different direction with the quarterback if you gave me one.
And, Clay, after the game, Rashad Jones comes out and says, I just play and they coach. He says he can be more productive at strong safety, you know, if I want to paraphrase what he said. And then Drake comes out and says, this is 2018, not 2017. My man Kalen Ballage had 12 carries. Drake had one. Drake was kind of critical. Is this criticism of the coaching staff from their players, is it justified?
Well, I think it's kind of, we've seen this before. It seems to be whenever there is a top-level player that, these guys seem to find issues in that Dolphins locker room. And at some point, you have to look at the coaching staff and figure out, why are they consistently having these problems? Now, my thing with the whole Rashad Jones situation is, you know, he's better off as a strong safety. He knows he's better off as a strong safety. And my question is, do they think that T.J. McDonald is a better option there right now? And if so, they're just putting their best defensive backs out there on the field. Okay, I get that. When it comes to Kenyon Drake, though, I almost feel like there was a little bit of an Eric Spoelstra thing going on here, where when one guy goes out, instead of just giving perhaps your better player or the more accomplished player the touches, in basketball would be the minutes, you don't want to mess up the rotation. So I feel like he went out there and he had a certain game plan where, all right, Kenyon Drake was going to be the guy catching the ball out of the backfield. Frank Gore was going to be my ball carrier, the bell cow, so to speak. So I'm just going to let Ballage take Gore's carries that were supposed to be there. And my whole thing with that is, get the ball in the hands of your best player. And that's not to say that Ballage is not an outstanding guy once the ball is in his hands, but I think you saw there are some issues with pass protection. There are some things that you need to clean up there. And look, you put Kenyon Drake out there for a reason. He's really, really good. Let him have the ball more often.
Clay Ferraro from Local 10 is with us. The Adam Gase tenure has been exactly 500 football, right? He was 10-6 the first season, 6-10 the second season. He's 7-7 this season. Do you notice much of a difference between the Joe Philbin era and the Adam Gase era? Can you see anything that jumps out at you that is dramatically different?
I don't. I do see a little bit more. I know nobody's going to want to hear this. There's a little more innovation on offense. I see little things on individual plays. But what I also see is refusal to stick with certain things that are working. The running game, we said this last week. What is this team's identity? I have no clue what this team's identity is and what they can lean on when they go on the road. And so when you don't have that thing that you know who you are, when the chips are down, how are you going to, when you face adversity, how are you going to win? So look, I think he's come up with some nice little wrinkles here and there. But I just wonder what would have happened if, especially in that New England game and this past weekend, if they had just tried to lean on that running game a little bit more and things that are working, and you're getting a lot of yards per carry. But that's been kind of the tenure, is when the running game is working, I think they try to get a little too cute sometimes. And so ultimately, I think then you see largely the same results that you saw with Joe Philbin. So the net result is the same, even if you look a little bit different on the way there.
And Clay, talking about the running game, let's go to the run defense. Zimmer fires the OC. He says he wants to run more. They don't run enough. Dalvin Cook needs the ball. Latavius Murray needs the ball. We all know the Vikings are going to run the ball 30 times this game. Why didn't Matt Burkett and the Dolphins know they were going to run the ball like that?
Well, listening to what they were saying after the game, it sounded as if they knew it was coming, but it sounded as if players were not doing what they were supposed to do, that guys were trying to, not freelance, but trying to do too much. And you know, I think I've heard you talk about this on the show sometime, that you know, you used to have Zach Thomas there, who would kind of make sure that everybody was where they were supposed to be. And you had that confidence, right, that if you did your job and if Zach put you in a place, you knew you were going to be where you were supposed to be, and ultimately you were going to win the down. And yep. And I don't know that these guys either have that confidence, and maybe it's just not because you have so many linebackers there that are young and they're just learning, but it sounded like the young linebackers who played so well against New England last weekend came into this game and were out of gaps. They were not getting to where they needed to be, and he said they were trying to do a little too much. Adam Gase said that after the game. Well, my question is, why does that issue seem to keep popping up? You know, especially if you come off of this New England game where guys were supposedly doing what they're supposed to do, why don't they do it again the following week? So I guess, Shane, my question would then be, all right, if you knew it was coming and you said you knew it was coming, why can't you get them to consistently do the thing that you're telling them to do when they saw it work the week before? Where is that consistency? And again, my guess would be that gets back to coaching.
Clay Ferrero, Local 10. Quickly on the way out, you got a problem with Manny Diaz coming back and coaching the defense for the Pinstripe Bowl?
No, not at all. And I do think what I like about it is it gives a little bit of a bridge for Banda and Patke to start to learn, all right, we know the ins and the outs. We know what Manny likes to do. But, all right, how does he call this? So my guess would be it lets him in on the game plan a little bit more. It's kind of a nice bridge to the next year. And look, I kind of like the idea that you get to finish what you started, and I like the idea that Manny Diaz wanted to do that, where you get a lot of these guys that all they want to do is go to their new job and start recruiting. So I think it's a good thing all the way around.
But wouldn't you want to see what Harold and Kumar can do as the defensive coordinator?
Harold and Kumar.
Isn't that who they hired?
What? Stop
Didn't they
it.
Hire Harold and Kumar?
That's Florida Gators hate coming out. See, he loves that.
Man, see, this is why Channing Crowder is the most popular guy in South Florida media, because he finds a way to needle all of these fan bases, but he's so lovable that you just want to go and hang out with him.
I mean, it's crazy. He hates the Hurricanes. He hates Dwayne Wade. I think he hates Udonis Haslam.
I love young Wade.
I think Channing hates me, and I still love the guy.
I know
my
he
man,
hates
Clay,
you.
No.
Hates you. Oh, I mean, you should hear what he says. You should hear. Oh, my goodness.
We used to run the streets back in the day.
Clay Ferrero, watch him on Local 10. Thank you for making time for us, Clay.
Take care, fellas. Happy holidays. Enjoy the season.
To you, too. Always enjoy our Ferrero side chats, Harold and Kumar.
That's not who they hired?
All Miami Hurricanes sports action can be heard here on AM 560, 96.5 FM HD2, sponsored by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Sam Madison going to join us next?
Yes, sir.
The Mad Dog? That's what they called him, Mad Dog?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about grab my strong hand. From Harold and Kumar.
Wow. Oh, like why are you thinking
that? It's not from Harold and Kumar.
It's not.
Is it?
No, it's from Scary Movie.
Grab my strong hand.
Yeah, it's the Butler Scary Movie too.
Harold and Kumar had a little crazy dude too.
Talking about
yeah, like what? Yeah, what?
I'm the movie guy here.
Can you get it straight for Sam Madison? Can you put it all together? I'm losing you here. I don't know what's happening.
No, me and Sam locked down. 39 interceptions between the two of us. You know I'm cool with Sam.
It's not really between the two of you. It was him. It was all him. One for you.
39 with us.
All him. One for you.
He had 38.
Sam Madison. He's gonna join us next.